This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We've gone through the men's basketball weekend. We have a ton of other stuff, Wes, and a lot of it will be covered with the best and worst of the weekend.
Well, and I know you want to get started. We're going to get started in Raleigh, and there's a lot going on in the North Carolina capital city. So let's go to Friday night, because talk about a Packer and Durham bump. I was curious to how you were going to interpret Clay Lout pinning Hayden Heidley on Friday night.
I watched it. It was dramatic, and bam, there it goes. Watch the North Carolina bench, man. Those guys are going bonkers. Heidley goes down, a stunner, a shocker, and man, Rock Harrison was losing his mind. I'm just telling you, Friday nights, the duels on ACC Network are so much fun, and later on this list, we'll give you a Sunday night duel. So if you're a Heidley fan, both whether it be Hayden or Trent, because the boys of Destruction, they got some sweetness last night. It was sweet in Raleigh all weekend long, quite frankly. But a great win for the Heels in that match.
Yep. Clay Lout and Hayden had joined us on the show, and Clay pinned him to beat Hayden Heidley for the first time, previously unbeaten in wrestling. NC State ends up winning the regular season title as a result of their team victory on Friday night, Tupac.
I tell you what, the good folks in Raleigh, North Carolina, had some kind of weekend as far as hardware is concerned, because they won a bunch of titles. And we'll get to it on this list. But again, boys and girls, wrestling in this league, we got some programs now. And this was great television on Friday night. It really was. Terrific.
Yep. So congratulations to Pat Popolizio and NC State on the regular season title. Over to Winston-Salem. We told you the boys of summer are back, even though it's a little chilly. Tom Walter and Wake Forest scored 16 runs. 16 in the fifth.
Yeah.
And their season opening win, 25-3 over Lafayette. 16.
Now, that normally is a good sign when you put the 16 spot up there on the board. I'm just glad we got baseball back. I mean, we got the millionaires and the billionaires that can't figure out a way to get together and generate enough money to load their pockets full of cash. Thank God the college guys are playing ball, man. It was great, 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 great to have baseball back this weekend. Awesome.
Yeah. Carolina wins at Virginia Tech for the first time since 2016. They now have a quad one win. It fluctuates between 1 and 2 because Michigan can't make up their mind from game to game on several things, but also including winning. But the Tar Heels have the win at Virginia Tech for the first time in 6 years. Brady Manick, a great start, and Armando Bacot and Caleb Love got the thing to the house in the second half.
Yeah, must win for North Carolina. They take care of business. The Hokies couldn't throw it in the ocean from beyond three. Hokies got work to do. North Carolina still needs to keep winning, including tonight against Louisville, if they want to get that NCAA tournament.
Off to baseball, Georgia Tech swept Wright State over the weekend. Jackets rallied for the walk-off win in the opener, 9-8. Blustery day at McNeese Stadium at McNeese Ballpark at Russ Chandler Stadium in Atlanta.
They gave up a handful in the top of the ninth to lose the lead, and all of a sudden you do a little walk off here, and this is a bang bang play to plate, bam, safe ball game. Georgia Tech with the win.
There you go. 9-8 the final. Everybody goes home happy at the Rusty C.
Love it.
All right. You mentioned this earlier in hour one. Wake dominated the glass against Notre Dame Saturday. That's best of the weekend.
It was a difference in the ball game. You know, second chance points. Wake Forest 8, Notre Dame's lunch off the glass. And the Irish had a big lead, couldn't hold on to it. And much like North Carolina, much like Virginia, you had to have it. And Wake got it Saturday. Good crowd, good game. Had, like I said, lots of runs on both sides. It was a fun game, a terrific comeback for the Deacs. And for Coach Forbes and the boys, that was much needed. I think Wake can run the table and be a double-bye team. I do. I think they can run the table the rest of the regular season.
All right. Back to baseball. Tommy White, kids.
Woo! Who's this dude?
Three home runs in his first college game.
Yeah, but guess what? He went yard on Saturday for a grand slam and just for fun said, I'm going to hit another one on Sunday. Look at this guy. We got to get this dude on. I don't remember Elliot saying anything about him being no Tommy White guy when he was on the show last week. Guy's got the beard, a little mullet. Man, he was bombing stuff in Raleigh, man. Look at these shots. That's up over the scoreboard, up over the television guy. Good grief. Tommy White just pounding that thing. Good grief. Five bombs this weekend. I love baseball, man. I am so glad the college guys are playing. Like I said, I'm so mad at Major League Baseball. When you got billionaires and millionaires that can't figure out a way to divvy up the pie, it makes me sick. Thank God for college baseball. Thank God.
So let me double check and get this straight. You're mad at Elliot Avent because he didn't mention Tommy White the other day?
Maybe I got to go back and listen to the interview again. But I don't remember Tommy. Again, I'm watching scores all weekend coming up with our list here. And I'm watching the NC State score, and I thought Dave Doran's guys were playing. They put three touchdowns on the board. I'm like, who? What is going on? Tommy White yard. Tommy White yard. Tommy White yard. I'm like, good grief, who is this guy? Tommy White. We got to get him on the show. One weekend. I mean, goodness gracious, five bombs, Wes. Five to start the year. Impressive.
My college roommate played 4 years of baseball. He didn't hit five home runs in
I mean, it's one thing to say.
This guy hit five in 3 days.
Yeah, but look where they landed. I mean, those things were like just moonshots. I mean, those things were check the bat, check the ball. I don't know what's going on, but Tommy White was awesome this weekend. Good grief.
Man, I gotta tell you now, he was hitting ropes. He was hitting rockets out of there.
Impressive.
What in the world?
Loved it.
Goodness. All right. Louisville's late 10-0 run helps the Cards to get Mike Pegues his first win as their interim head coach. In the second iteration of this, he obviously was the interim at the beginning of the year. Cards win 70-61 against Clemson on Saturday at the Yum Center, and they're in Chapel Hill tonight, Pac.
Yeah, after seven straight losses, sometimes you wonder, is it ever going to end? Well, it was a terrific run late to win it. And, of course, for poor Clemson, you may see them later on the other list on this thing. But for Louisville, finally get that W. Seven straight losses. Mm. It's been a rough year for the Cardinals, but it felt good Saturday.
NC State's men win the ACC swimming and diving title. It's their 31st ACC title, including seventh in the last 8 years. There's the commish and Coach Hollowell the trophy. Congratulations to the Wolfpack, right?
No doubt. 31 of them. That is impressive. And by the way, you can tell that the ACC suits had that meeting down there in Fort Lauderdale. The commission looks nice and tanned and relaxed, handing out hardware. Life is good when you're the man. When you are the man, he's got the look, man. He got the bronze tan here in February. He's ready to go for March Madness.
Yeah. So congratulations to Braden Holloway and his staff. Likewise at Virginia, the women win the swimming and diving title. Virginia's third straight and the 18th in program history for the Cavaliers.
13 of the last 15. The hardware goes back to Charlottesville. And we had a couple of their swimmers on. The sisters were really great. Man, all kinds of meet records. Yeah. Here we go. It's big splash. Love it. Getting wet. By the way, that's that fast water down there in Atlanta, Wes. It's what everybody says, that fast water down there in Atlanta.
That's it. Yeah. The Walsh sisters were terrific, and Alex was able to win a one individual title as well for Virginia this weekend, I believe, if not more. Charlotte North, Packer and Durham bump. She had four goals on the day. She's now got 284 in her career. Becomes the ACC's all-time leader in scoring goals in women's lacrosse.
Oh, you see that little move right there? Folks, I'm telling you, you may not know a lacrosse stick from a beach ball, but if BC is on ACC Network, just check it out because Charlotte North's going to do something you probably have never seen before. I mean, every game, she is so spectacular. I mean, she's just great. She's a superstar. That's what she is. Big time.
Yeah. See, amazing is what, I mean, it's just, It's one of those things when you watch Charlotte North play lacrosse, like Aaron Mattson in field hockey, stuff just happens, doesn't
it? Right. It's amazing. She's just a spectacular player. Fantastic.
All right, back to baseball. Clemson scored 19 unanswered runs to send Indiana to the showers 19-4. What in the world happened down there at Doug King's?
Back home again in Indiana. Tigers sweep the Hoosiers 19. Again, you saw Wake put a 16 spot in one inning. I like your chances when you go 19 straight. Just saying. I mean, you got to have some lousy pitching. You're not going to win that game. But the Tigers in their home purple there. I kind of like those unis, by the way.
Yeah.
Good start for Monty Lee. He needs it coming after last year. Three straight against Indiana.
Yep. Clemson softball, Coach Rittman's team, first ever win against a top five team over the weekend, beat Washington 2-0.
Yeah. Biggest star on that campus. Keep telling you. Lady by the name of Valerie Cagle. I think she's the biggest star athletically on Clemson's campus. This was a humongous win. Great win for the Tigers.
Yeah, this all part of the big elite event in St. Pete and Clearwater, brought to you by ESPN Events. Huge weekend of softball, 40 games plus, and they say maybe the best for last here in a moment. We'll tell you about that. We then get to NC State scoring 62 points in the paint against Syracuse.
Yes, that could be a problem. Defensively, that might be a problem. I know NC State's really good.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a tough week for Syracuse now. Virginia Tech blistered them, and, of course, NC State just total domination here as they clinch the ACC regular season as the number one seed heading into Greensboro. NC State, Coach Westmore, just a tremendous year, and they're not done.
Kai Crutchfield coming up from Westmore's team, joining us in the 9 o'clock hour, about 9:15. Virginia's women waking up with big smiles this morning on the basketball side. They've won two straight conference games now, Pac.
Yeah, we gave you all the stats. It had been 720-some-odd days since they had won a conference game on the road, and or period, for that matter. And next thing you know, WW. So Carla Williams got to look around and go, thank goodness the ladies have been working hard. They finally get some reward. And kind of a tough weekend for Pitt basketball. They lose to Georgia Tech on the men's side, and then the women lose to Virginia. So, wahoo, wah, man. Congratulations. I know that. Again, you go through those losing streaks, you think sometimes it's never going to end. But good news for the Hoos.
Yep. All right, let's go to back to the St. Pete Clearwater Elite event. Last night, late, Florida State beats three ranked teams and a walk-off against UCLA. Caps the weekend for Lonnie's team.
Boy, she's got a great team, always does, and they are consistently good. Again, if you love women's softball, this is your kind of weekend, man. It was on television nonstop. Big-time teams, great comebacks, and really a good start for the ACC on top of it. That makes a perfect trifecta.
All right. Remember we started this entire best of the weekend by telling you about Lout pinning Hayden Heidley on Friday night. Well, last night in the Sunday duel, Hayden Heidley came back and defeated Makai Lewis of Virginia Tech. Sudden victory, by the way, Pac.
Yeah, watched it. It was awesome. These are two stars right here now. These are two stars, big time. Look how pumped up he is here. Woo! Yes, sir. Man, I tell you, the wrestlers are great. They've been great on the air with us. The coaches are great. Mm-hmm. Again, I keep bragging about ACC Network on the Friday night duels. It's so much fun. Crowds into it. NC State fans packing the joint, just rocking. And Kyle Lewis is a grown man now. We're talking about Olympian, big time. I mean, we're talking about all-time dude. That was an awesome match last night. Really great.
Yeah, sure was. And great coverage all weekend long with Sean Kenny and Rock Harrison, by the way. Those guys do a terrific job of bringing wrestling to you here on ACC Network. All right, on the other side, worst of the weekend.
Yep, there's some.
The list cannot be as long as best.
No, it's not. It's
we
not.
Got a couple. Did you find a few?
Yeah, there's a couple we're going to throw on the list here. But the positives outweighed the negatives, but there are some bummers, unfortunately.
Oh, don't show me that, too. Oof. All right, worst of the weekend coming up next. Packer and Durham continues on a Monday on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Pack already told you he's excited for baseball. Well, guess what? Friday night, 6 o'clock, our coverage of baseball debuts on ACC Network. We're going to send you to Doak Field at Dale Park in Raleigh. Quinnipiac's in town, Pack, to see number 10 NC State.
Tell you what, I hope they bring their doctor. You know why, Wes? Because we're Tommy White's in it. Somebody may hurt their neck staring at it.
It's available on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. 5 home runs in his first college weekend for Tommy White.
God, that guy, I'm telling you, I don't know who that guy is. How did Elliot
Roy
keep
Hobbs,
that?
Roy Hobbs, I told you.
How did Elliot even keep that guy from us when we were talking to him last week? Yeah, I know he said, hey, I got to replace a bunch of guys and we know chip on the shoulder from last year. What's over is done. I heard all that part. And Tommy White going yard. I think one of those things landed in the backyard.
Didn't say a word about Tommy White.
I think one of them landed back here.
Didn't say a word.
Piper girl got it on the way back to Atlanta. And I'm telling you what, he was hitting some shots now. Holy mackerel. Bombs away.
All right, Tommy White on Friday night, Quinnipiac and NC State on ACC Network. Let's get to the worst of the weekend. The list, thankfully, not as long.
Not as long.
But nonetheless impactful.
Yeah.
And we're going to start with the Hokies on Saturday at home in the Castle, shooting a 19% from behind the three-point line.
Man, when this is your bread and butter and you get a must-win game, you got to make shots, Wes. And you were there front and center, and you and Corey Alexander, front row seat. Crowd was juiced up, ready to go, but unfortunately, the Hokies just couldn't make any shots. North Carolina said, thank you very much. Yep. You picked a great day to shoot 19% because we're going to steal this win and get back home to Chapel Hill. That was a tough loss for Virginia Tech. Playing great basketball, won 6 straight ACC games. Had momentum, but they just could not do what they do best, and that's make threes.
And they've got a great environment at Castle Coliseum. Not a good one. They got a great one. And that crowd was ready to explode, and there just wasn't anything for them to rally behind. About midway the first half, you could start to feel the fuse going out on Virginia Tech. Now, there was a little bit in the second half when Aluma hit the big three, and they made some plays, and Coach Hubert just banged a timeout over there at the bench because Carolina had to try and stop the run. And, you know, fortunately, they were able to pull it off. But, boy, what a great environment they've got. By the way, Brady Manick missed a couple of free throws in the second half. I got my bacon coupon as I left the other day. I'll nice. Bring this back. We can go to the store and get us some bacon, and we can have it for breakfast on the Packer and Durham program, courtesy of the Hokies.
Is that only good in the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth, or can you go across state lines with that coupon? Just asking.
Looks like doesn't say anything. Says good only in the United States.
That would work for us. We're still, last time I checked, North Carolina is still in the States. We're still welcomed.
Yeah.
Amongst the other 49. We're good to
One free package of bacon up to $10 right here.
I can
One
do that.
One free package of bacon.
In fact, I can do bacon.
We can have this in the morning, courtesy of the Hokies.
I can have that ready. I can do bacon now. I can put you some bacon again.
Yeah.
I won't even wake up.
We may
Mrs.
do this
P.
this week. I'll bring the coupon back.
You do it. Better yet, why don't you just go to the store?
Right.
You don't need to bring the coupon. You just go to the store, get a head start, and then bring the bacon in here, and I'll take care of it.
Well, there we go. All right, we got a plan. Love it. Courtesy of the Hokies.
Thanks, Hokie.
They gave me a coupon on the way out the door. Corey and I got coupons leaving. The lady was standing there. Here's your coupon for the bacon since they missed the free throws. Okay,
I want to thank Brady Manick, even though he overslept and missed our interview a couple weeks ago. At least he's delivered some bacon to the show. So we got that going for you. We'll call it a wash then. That's a break even.
By the way, he's a pretty good free throw shooter too, and he missed two.
Well, I'm glad
anyway,
he did.
All right. We move on. If this is long-term, this is really tough for Clemson. P.J. Hall injured early in the ball game at Louisville, and you see there he goes down, and it is the left foot and that's the one that has been troubling him, that's limited his practice time, and that's not good. None of that's good.
Nope, not good
at
all.
Talking to his teammates on the bench. And
No, not good at all. Six straight losses for the Tigers, and it doesn't get any easier with the Swiss coming to town. And the Deacs have a lot to play for and are playing well. Tough times for Brad Brunell and the Tiger basketball program for sure.
Yep. You mentioned Wake at Little John this week, and then the Tigers at BC on ACC Network this weekend. North Carolina's men's lacrosse team got blown out by Ohio State, Pack, 20-8 the final.
I was channel surfing this weekend coming up with this list and ran across this game. I thought there was something wrong with the scoreboard. I mean, the Heels are ranked, Ohio State's not, and this was a woodshed job. I hate to say it, man. The Buckeyes just come rolling into Chapel Hill and just knocked them all over the yard. It was ugly. Yeah. That was just ugly is what that was.
Surprise in basketball on Saturday night, given their three straight wins and kind of the momentum they were playing with, you probably felt pretty good about Pittsburgh going home to see Georgia Tech. And in all honesty, the Jackets took the lead late in the first half and were never headed. Pitt wearing the slick black home jerseys, but Georgia Tech got 14 from Rodney Howard, and the Jackets win 68-62. DeVoe threw in 22 for Josh Pastner's team.
Josh, you know, the funny thing about this, watching, you know, Josh and his guys go back, up and down the floor, they were never threatened. I mean, this was an easy win. Mm-hmm. And you just never know how this stuff's going to play out. If you watch both those teams earlier in the week, you know, Pitt goes to Chapel Hill, beats up on Carolina. Georgia Tech's got NC State at home and gets destroyed. They were down 30 or 29 to half, whatever it was. You're thinking, man, those are two programs going in the absolute opposite directions. Then you watch the game Saturday night, and you're like, what is going on here? So Georgia Tech, great win, and their reward is not only do they get the win, they get out of the cellar of accounting, and they get a bus ride to Syracuse. That's what they got.
Yeah. Not to look ahead, but to kind of look ahead.
Wait, we're closing in. Wes, wait. Say that again.
I said not to look ahead, but we're kind of going to look ahead here.
Okay. I don't know what, I'm not sure what that means, but go ahead.
Yeah. We're within the week of locking in the six teams playing on Tuesday in Brooklyn. And it could potentially happen this week. I would offer you this. If, in fact, it ends up being just hypothetically Pitt and Georgia Tech, Louisville, NC State, BC, Clemson, there is no telling who those three teams will be. You would have no chance at guessing the three teams that will come out of those three games. I mean, you could. But, I mean, anything could happen in those three games in Brooklyn, Pack, on that Tuesday.
That would be correct. But I will tell you, the winners of those three, I don't think are going much further. Because I think there is a
I would agree with that.
I think there is a definite left versus right side when you look at the standings this year. I know it's one game. College hoops, we saw it all weekend long. Mm-hmm. You know, an unranked Florida team could beat Auburn. I get all that stuff. But I think when we get to the tournament time, there are six teams in the conference. Maybe seven have a ton to play. There is a reason to be dialed in and to go deep in the tournament. And but if you're on the right side, I think it's, hey, we're almost to the finish line. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. Yeah, sure does. All right. Finish up here with a couple. Indiana. You may have heard that the Fighting Sage Steels were playing at Clemson this weekend. They walked 16 and hit six in one game against Clemson.
Yeah, normally we don't give love to an outsider here, but when you're this horrifically bad on the mound, I'm going to throw you in the mix. 16 walks in a game. Wes, I know it's the opening series, maybe a little rust, I get it, but you walk 16 dudes and hit six others? That's 22 batters we're putting on first. Hey, go ahead. Good grief.
Coming to get him. Let's go. Bring me the lefty.
I don't know
bring
who the
me
head,
the righty.
I don't know who the head coach is at Indiana, but my phone did ring. I got a number from Bloomington. I just put it on block. Shoot, I didn't know it was the guy going, hey, Packer, can you come in and pitch? How quickly can you get down there to Clemson and see if you can get a Tiger out? 16 walks and 6 hit batters.
Mm.
Good grief. Is the guy blind? What were we doing? Was that my man Bocelli out there humming curveballs for Indiana?
Stop.
What's going on there? Wes, you've done a ton of baseball. 16 walks and 6 hit batters? What is up with that?
It's not good, is what that is. That's not good for anybody.
Good grief, that's awful.
All right. Let's close Worst of the Weekend with this. An unbelievable celebration of Syracuse lacrosse history this weekend, right?
Yep.
Gates' number gets retired. They honor Roy Simmons. I mean, there's just really so much stuff going on there. And then they start off and trail 5-0 to Maryland. And kind of from there it goes.
Well, Syracuse played great after the beginning. I mean, they were competitive. Listen, Maryland's the number one team in the country. They are really, really good. I just expected Syracuse, with everything at stake, to be fired up, come out of the blocks. That was the problem. They're down, 5-0, and it was like, okay, now let's go play. From that point forward, it was very competitive. Syracuse is going to be fine. Gary Gate will have that thing rocking. Yeah. He gave us that new invention he had, bump on a stick, on Friday's show. But the Terps are really good. But this league is really good. And Syracuse, you got to get over that because number 2 Virginia is coming up. And that's a tough way to get started.
Yeah.
The league is dynamite, man. Right. It really is in lacrosse, men's and women's.
Yep. Lacrosse underway. Tough loss for Syracuse. Tough loss for Carolina over the weekend, though.
Two Big Ten teams.
Keep our eye on Lacs.
Big Ten teams coming in.
Keep our eye on it. Speaking of the Big Ten, the ACC, when we come back, a little Friday afternoon news dump. There is no college football playoff expansion until the contract expires after the 25 season. Some folks are really upset about this, but I would ask, can anybody be surprised? Packer and Durham continues next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. We're going to talk a little college football. Like I said, a little bit of everything that's going on. I know we got March Madness around the corner and the search for the double buys are going on. We got baseball started. Mm-hmm. Lacrosse has been great. We got wrestling rocking and rolling, swimming and diving championships. But Wes, on Friday, it was fascinating to see the news break that the college football playoff expansion has basically been on hold. So the current contract that goes through 2025 will be in play. And what I found to be interesting about all of this is the amount of people that were like flabbergasted, like this is an outrage. And I'm thinking, hello, has everybody just been under a rock? Or everybody that kind of mocked the alliance being formed kind of fell into that category, quite frankly, to be honest with you. Everybody, the alliance, they're not going to do anything. Oh, okay. I mean, try to explain this to everybody in the summertime that you better look a little bit deeper into the big picture. And sure enough, according to certain reports, the vote was 8-3, right? The 10 conference commissioners and Jack Swarbrick, the three that voted no, you'd be shocked to find out, were from the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12. According to reports, that is the alliance. So,
right.
I don't know why anybody in their right mind would be shocked that this thing came to a screeching halt.
Well, remember, you've outlined this, and appropriately so, in the last couple of months by saying any vote to change anything ahead of the expiration date on the current 12-year contract was going to have to be unanimous, right?
Right.
And I think you said it specifically, it's going to be very difficult for 11 people to agree on anything, right?
Right. Correct. I mean,
To me, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just thought it was almost comical to listen to some people in the media in particular lose their minds over this. It's like, hey, guys, I'm going to let everybody in on a secret here. It's going to get done. There's just too much money at stake. It's not a matter of if it's going to get done. The question really is, when is it going to get done? And it will get completed. There's just too much money at stake. And once this contract runs its course, you don't need a unanimous selection of all 11 have to agree. It will not have to be the case. Mm-hmm. And I also believe, Wes, And you're kind of watching it, I think, right now with the Big Ten media rights, where last week NBC said, hey, we're interested. You know, ESPN, we're interested. I mean, when you've got multiple media partners, all you need is two. Anything more than that is gravy and life is good. But once you have two bidding on something that somebody wants, that's true whether it be a college football property. It's true whether it's your home for sale. It's true whether it's a gizmo on eBay. When you have two bidding on it, guess what happens to the price? Goes up. Guess what's going to happen to college football? Going to go up. So I think this contract runs to its end, and then you're going to see multiple suitors say, guess what? We're interested in getting our hands on the cookie jar for the college football playoff. And who knows what the streaming system looks like in the year 2025, 26. That's going to be a whole different world, too, that we probably don't have a handle on.
All right, but let's get to the core elements of what we believe to be the reason that the reports of these three conferences voting against the expansion plan prior to the expiration date of the contract would be. Well, if you've listened to Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, you know the hesitation the ACC has, because there's this whole renovation and understanding of what college football is from a calendar perspective. And I think that's a proper perspective, by the way. The second part is this. There is a bigger picture here in college football, and some are not willing to concede that bigger picture because they're too busy trying to expand the dollar before, you know, we get to the end of the deal. We almost have to slow things down. Now, some leagues don't want to slow things down because it's going just fine. But if you don't slow down, you're going to make a mistake here. And I think the ACC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 in particular realize, and you can say it's an alliance move, but I think all three leagues will concede to you that the calendar is an issue here. The construction of the administration of college football is an issue here. And as Jim Phillips has outlined to us, that's his principal issue. After talking with coaches and players and athletic directors, presidents, all these constituents, there is some concern about the way college football sets in its current form as it relates to expanding the playoff. Now, let's get to the issue that is the principal one for the Big Ten and the Pac-12. That is the Rose Bowl. And again, I've said this for years. My friend Tony Barnhart's the one that told me about this the first time. The Rose Bowl, the most important thing to know about the Rose Bowl is, when is the parade? Well, the Rose Bowl also has a historical relationship with both the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. The revenue, how do they fit in the expansion? Mark, you remember this. When the BCS was created, who was the biggest stumbling block in the BCS? The Rose Bowl.
Well, Jim Phillips has been quoted multiple times saying, we don't have a college football playoff problem. We have a college football and athletics issue. And you start talking about name, right, image, and likeness and the transfer portal. There are so many things that need to be addressed and some guidelines and some regulations put in place. And it goes up above even football. So I think that's where a lot of these concerns are. And again, I have total faith that the smart people in college athletics, which make up these commissioners and Jack Swarbrick, they will get it worked out. And there's a lot of people go, oh, they're just not going to be able to work together. They'll work together. But it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I just think the media rights dollar is so humongous. And I go back to the Big Ten story last week, that NBC's interest in bidding on that, there were people reporting that they believe the Big Ten deal will be over $1 billion. I'm not stuttering. $1 billion. So that's what happens when multiple media opportunities arise and people go, hey, I want a piece of the pie. People are wanting to get a piece of the college football pie, especially when this thing expands. And it's going to. But to have multiple bidders, I think in some respects will up the ante for what everybody eventually divvies up. So at the end of the day, we'll live with four. We have now since 2014. The committee, in my opinion, for the most part, has gotten it spot on. We get the two best teams playing for the national title. People will scream that, you know, mock the alliance. And now they look like fools for doing it because here we go. You knew this thing can be a delay, and that's what we have. But college football is in a great spot, even though there's some things that need to get worked out, and it will. I just think eventually we'll get everything what everybody wants, and that is an expanded playoff with more money for more teams and more schools and more leagues. That's what I think will happen.
Yeah. And potentially more television partners.
I think that will probably, if we get this thing to 2025 the way it is, and it sounds like that's where we are today for sure on February the 21st, I believe there will be more people in the media business outside of ABC / ESPN / Disney that have a distinct interest in being a part of the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. And before you sit there and you go, well, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Well, the most popular sport in our country is the National Football League. You tell me how many media partners they have. Is it one? No, it's not. Right. And if you don't think that college football is following a similar path, you would be naive. That's what you would be. Because I think that's exactly what we're going to see.
Yep. So more to come on this and more conversation on this for sure, especially as we go careening into the spring, right, Pac? Because that's when some data, research, observations, discussions all start to take place about smoothing the edges, if you will, about what college football is going to look like. And we'll dive into that then. When we come back, we will lean into tonight. Episodes 5 and 6 of the tournament are ahead here on ACC Network starting at 9 o'clock. And, man, we do a pretty good job of chronicling a really, really exciting decade of ACC basketball starting tonight on ACCN.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget tonight, episodes 5 and 6 of the tournament premiere following Florida State Boston College basketball here on ACC Network. Part 5 now chronicles 1975 to 1980. That's at 9 o'clock. Then episode 6, 1981 through 1983. New episodes of the 10-part doc available every Monday night at 9 and 10 through March the 7th. You can always watch past episodes on the ESPN app. The tournament is a presentation of New York Life right here on ACCN. We welcome you back, and I want to chronicle now this. If you've got enough space on your DVR at home, today at 1 o'clock, they're going to replay the 1983 ACC Championship game between NC State and Virginia from the fabulous Omni in Atlanta. RIP the Omni. Pour one out for the Omni right here this morning, Pac. So they're going to replay that at 1 o'clock. That's 2 hours long. Then at 3 o'clock, the replay of Episode 1 begins. It'll be followed by Episode 2, Episode 3, and Episode 4. It takes you up to basketball at 7. Basketball till about 9, 8:58, we hope. Then at 9 o'clock, you get Episodes 5, and at 10 o'clock, Episode 6. How easy is that?
Basically, just leave it here on ACC Network, and you're good to go. You don't have to touch a button. That's all you need to know.
But tell me today, you're getting ready for off-campus.
Right.
1 to 3, you're not going to sneak a look at the Virginia NC State at the Omni? Come on.
I will tape it. I will watch it again. But I'll be prepping for the radio show, Wes. Live radio. So I will not watch it.
Terry
when it's
Gannon.
On. I know who's in it.
Cozell McQueen.
I was there.
Yeah, you were with that flow with Terry Holland in the tunnel.
That's exactly right. I was in Omni. I was
there. That salad you were working with? Holy cow.
I remember falling asleep. This is a true story. That tournament. One of the first days, I remember the last game started late, and I found 5 chairs in the end zone of the Omni and fell asleep in it, like I was doing a cross-country flight. I remember that. That was a long night in Atlanta. That was back in my college days. We we partook the night before and did the town. And I was struggling that last game. That fourth game, that first day, that's a long day of basketball, man. I found four chairs, and I zonked out. But the championship game was a thriller.
What day was it that was that the semifinal Saturday where you and Torrey were in the tunnel? You and Holland were in the tunnel, and they caught you on camera?
Yeah, I think so. Dick Vitale was screaming, "Ah, there's my Billy Packer's son, Mark." By the way, we wish Dickie V quick recovery. Yeah, I know he had surgery last week. Thoughts and prayers to Dickie V. And, yeah, he gave me a shout-out. I was just sitting there with my big old afro-looking hair. I had that thing out there about here. Man, I had that thing going. I don't know what happened.
We'll have to get the Lumberjacks to pull that foul photo. I think we kept that clip.
Bad
DNA. I think
DNA.
We kept that in the archives.
That's that bad hair DNA in the Packer. Packer DNA was lousy hair. That's what we got going on there.
All right. Let's get to a quick excerpt of what you're going to see tonight in episode 6. The Virginia North Carolina game, 1982. For all the things that 74 changed about the NCAA tournament, 82 changed the way the game was played.
North Carolina was ranked number one in the country and breezed into the final.
Here comes Jordan Unruh. Jordan.
And this year, third-ranked Virginia would join them in dramatic fashion. They were going to finally meet in the ACC final in a game that was so big that it was nationally televised, and it featured NBC's top team of Dick Enberg and Al McGuire.
Carolina wins the tap and Bergie gets Carolina off to a slamming start.
Throughout the first half, Worthy would carry the Carolina offense.
James could dominate like nobody. I remember him going baseline and dunking on Ralph.
Worthy has 16 points.
But Sampson would answer.
Both teams were firing on all cylinders, and it was back and forth and back and forth.
Sampson, right back.
It was being played at such a high level. It was so much fun being out there.
Beautiful pass. What a play by Sampson.
But midway through the second half, with the game hanging in the balance, neither Worthy nor Sampson would take hold of it. Instead, it would be the freshman, Michael Jordan, who would look to seize it.
Up to this time during that year, Michael Jordan was not the go-to guy.
Fact.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Whatever happened to that guy, Jordan? He turned out all right? Pretty good player?
Yeah, he was the last guy introduced last night on the 75th anniversary team of the NBA. How's that?
Yeah, turned out to be a pretty good player. I tell you, you know what's cool about watching these clips? Is you see the names, right? You just see the names, you go, oh my goodness. And again, for folks born this century, you're going to think, man, 1982, that's ancient history. All right, well, if you know anything about the game of basketball, anything, you're going to hear names and go, wow, they were all on one team? Yes, they were. And the league in that era was ridiculous how great it was. Intensity, great coaches, unbelievable players. And the tournament, of course, the tournament was unlike anything else, man. If you had a ticket, it was literally the golden ticket. You were fortunate to have it.
Tomorrow, joining us on this show in relationships to episode, that is episode 6 that you just saw the excerpt from, Phil Ford and Wally Walker join this program tomorrow. Two of the great players in ACC tournament history. And ironically, both wrote their script in back-to-back years, 75 and 76. But Phil has been with us before, live and on the phone, and Wally Walker will join us from the Pacific Northwest tomorrow morning on this show. He's out in the Seattle area.
I can't wait, because we kind of chronicled Virginia's amazing run when they won it in Landover, and how, I mean, the whole state went nuts. Couldn't believe it. And Phil Ford, I've, you know, when we did our moments, the ACC tournament, Wes, That 1975 tournament to me was the best one. I mean, I know the 74 NC State Maryland game was the greatest game ever played, but the 75 tournament was so bonkers. Every game combined, all the margins, 20 points. And that scoreboard game with North Carolina and Wake Forest, in which the Heels end up winning, get the break off the scoreboard ricochet, apparently. You know, that Phil Ford 1975 freshman MVP never happens. It never happens. Mm-hmm. But Phil Ford, man, what a player. What an, again, two legendary ACC figures on the show tomorrow. We look forward to it. It's going to be great.
That is awesome. All right, when we come back, the race for the double bye is on, and we got some contenders. There's some that are locks, and we got some contenders. We will talk about the last 2 weeks of regular season play on the men's card when hour 3 of Packer and Durham starts next on ACC.
Packer and Durham.